If you have your Bibles, please turn, please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. The Gospel of John and chapter 15. And who's a good reader wants to read for me? Okay. You going to read for me, sister? Thank you. I'm going to go further than this, but I'd like you, if you would, to read the first 8 verses of chapter 15, please, of the Gospel of John. And I'll tell you this, that the Holy Spirit is so amazing, because at least 3 times during the course of our meeting before now, Pastor has made references to passages and excerpts of which I will probably cover again. And this is just how the Spirit works when He wants us to focus in a certain direction. Verses 1 through 8, sister.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Amen.
To the public reading of His word. Amen. I want to talk today to us who are here on the topic of abiding. Abide, A-B-I-D-E. But before I get into that, in the verses that we just read, please note verse number 5, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Beloved, we must understand the concept of being plugged in, or in this case, the scripture, the Lord uses the word abide or abiding in him. We must understand this concept. We are useless unless we are truly plugged in to a power source, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. It is in being plugged into the triune God that we have power. Our power does not come from the position we hold on our jobs. We might be CEOs of companies. We might be presidents of companies. We might be vice president of companies. We might be the chief financial officer of companies. And that makes us, in the eyes of the public and the world, powerful. But our true power comes from the Lord and the Lord alone. That's who we are. We have to be those who understand our position in life and in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be those who must understand, first of all, we are branches, and if we abide in him and he in us, then we will bear much fruit. And he says, for without me, you can do nothing. You say, wait a minute. How come you will tell me that I can't do nothing when I am who I am. Because you see, we are so prideful that many times we look at ourselves and we think of ourselves as those who make it happen. How many times have you heard someone say, "Hey man, I'm the captain of this ship. You know, I'm in charge of me. Nobody tells me what to do." All these are simply statements that we are making that indicates that we are not understanding the importance of being plugged in to the Lord Jesus Christ. Abide in me and I in you, for without me you can do nothing. I think this applies to the believer. And the reason I say that is because this conversation that was being held between him and his disciples and those who followed him. And how important it was that he reminded them that they need to stay plugged into him. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." How about this matter of pruning? I'm not, although I spend a lot of my formative years on the farm, I'm not into farming. In fact, one of my biggest dreams was the day I could get old enough to leave the farm. It's hard work. But you know, it's funny how the Lord deals with us. I married a lady who loves gardening. And so she got all kind of stuff planted in the yard, and she wants to find out. And yesterday, she had a conversation with a friend of mine from New Zealand. And she said to him, "How do you prune a passion fruit vine?" And I was looking there with my eyes kind of glazed over, like, oh boy, here we go again. And this passage speaks of the pruning by the vine dresser, God the Father. And you know, sometimes I understand this much about pruning. It is that we're cut back so that we can produce more. We're challenged, as believers, we are challenged. Somebody has said that if you want to get a job done, give it to a person who is busy. I never understood that. You know, Pastor Pascasio is very busy. He's busy because of his responsibilities at the church. He's busy because he has a full-time job. He's busy because he's a full-time dad and husband, and he has to be doing all these things. And yet we put more responsibilities on him. Yeah. Oh, tell Pastor Pascasio, he'll do it. And he probably will. He probably will get it done. But beloved, may I suggest to you that each and every one of us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ get busy for God. Amen. We need to be those who get busy for him, who will say, "What can I do to make things better at my church, in my witnessing? What can I do?" You know, some of us use the social media a lot, and we talk about everything else, but put a word out there or a thought out there, uplifting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you gotta use social media, then start talking about Jesus. Or are you afraid that somebody is going to laugh at you and start calling you a little mamby-pamby because all you do is talk about Jesus? Because you know that's what the world says about us. You know, they don't understand that you speak of him whom you love. Why does a man tell you so much about his wife, his beloved wife? I'm so proud of Brother Josh. Brother Josh, every opportunity he gets, he lets you know how much he loves his wife. That is good. Stay on the honeymoon, bro. You know what I'm saying? I've been 47 years in this job, and I'll tell you, I'll stay on it. You know? It's a good thing to do. And the same thing when it comes to our Lord. We should be willing to testify of him, to speak of him, to lift him up to a lost and dying world. The next verse I want us to look at is the verse right below verse number 5. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch that is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. I understand that, because when I lived on the farm, this is what we did. At a certain point in time, we call it the brambles. It's just the old branches that are cut off and cut down, and we set them aside. And then at a certain point, we make a bonfire out of them, you know, to drive away flies and different things. And, of course, the ash and everything re-nourishes the land, right? And it's a process that goes on and on. Well, the Lord uses this analogy to explain to us how important it is to us to be fruitful in spiritual things. It is, here he's talking about spiritual things and our spiritual lives and well-being. And there is no place in the Christian life for fence sitters. You either get busy for the Lord or you're not. You can't straddle the fence. You know, people, oh man, you know, I can't preach, so I won't speak. No. If you can't preach, then tell somebody. Tell them the good news. The good news of your salvation. How you got saved. What it means to you. This is what is so important to us as believers. We should be those who are continuously telling forth the good news of God's salvation. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. John 15:5. What can we do without Christ? Answer, nothing. What can we accomplish when we abide in him? Well, one man said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And it was said by none other than the Apostle Paul himself. What then does it mean to abide in Christ? Let us use the acronym A-B-I-D-E. With A standing for absolute surrender. We have to come to him just as we are, confessing our sin and saying, Lord, you are the potter and I am the clay. Beloved, that is what is important. And we got to do that as believers. And if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to come to that point where you absolutely surrender to him and say, I am what I am. I've come to you. I am confessing my sin, for you are the potter and I am the clay. He can melt us, he can mold us, and make us into something beautiful. B stands for believe. You know, without belief, without true belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are nothing. We're just there. We're nothing. We have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ completely to do with us and to do for us and around us what is the very best while we stand on his promises. Our brother made reference to that today. It is important that we stand on the promises of God through the scripture. You know, we stand on his promises for healing. We stand on his promises for health. We stand on his promises for wealth. We stand on his promises for knowledge. Our brother said, he says, no good thing will he withhold from us. Since it's all available, all we need to do is to avail ourselves. Make ourselves available. Because it's already there for us. So B stands for believe. We must trust him completely to do with us and for us and around us what is the very best while we stand on his promises. I stands for insight. We have to be those who will pour ourselves into his word each day, learning his ways and gaining his insights for living. This is very important, brethren. Brothers and sisters, this is so important. And I might add this morning, and I hope you forgive me, but this must be said, that so many times the sisters put us men to shame. They spend a lot more time in the Word of God, studying and reading than we do. So here's a little formula for you. Do you know that if you read 3 chapters a day, in other words, you pick up your Bible, you start reading, and you read 3 chapters a day, that you would read through the whole Bible in 1 year? 3 chapters a day. That's not a lot, now is it? You know how long it takes you to read 3 chapters if you're a slow reader? Maybe 25 minutes. And if you're a fast reader, 15 minutes. So brothers, let us start reading, just reading the Word of God. Because in reading, the Holy Spirit will give us the insight that we need for our daily living. It is important that we study the Word of God so that when the enemy comes, we will be able to, like Jesus, use the Word of God to defend ourselves against him. Letter D. Letter D stands for dedication. Dedication. We have to persevere over time, separating ourselves from sinful habits and from people or places that may hinder our purity. Let's go over this. D stands for dedication. We have to persevere over time. I'll use a simple example, if you don't mind, of dedication. And this can apply to anything that we do in the church and for the well-being of the saints. But I'm going to use the example of driving. There might be a brother or brothers who has said to the pastor and the leaders of the church, says, you know what? Whenever you want to go somewhere, I will drive the van. And so you make that commitment to drive the van. Now, once you have made that commitment to drive the van, and like I said, this can apply to anything, singing in the choir, whatever it is, you've made that commitment. Once you've made that commitment, persevere. What do I mean by that? It means that if you're supposed to be here on a Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, show up. Show up. And if you can't show up, then find the other person who drives and says, listen, man, I can't make it. Can you be there? But you got to persevere. This comes down to our commitment, brothers and sisters, in the things that we say we're going to do for the Lord. Whenever we make a promise or a commitment to the pastor, to the Sunday school teacher, to the music person, whoever it is, it is not just a commitment to that individual. It is actually a commitment to the Lord. And so we must be those who are willing to persevere unto the Lord. We need to be dedicated to those things. So we should separate ourselves from sinful habits. Today we were talking at my church and we're talking about things that might seem to be easy, you know, or not a problem. And we say, well, you know, these days they suggest that we put a chip in our pets, that in case our pets get lost, we could track them. And we said, okay, what you think about that? And somebody says, that's a pretty neat thing, because I love my pet, and if my pet goes astray, I would like to, if they found it, that they could trace it back and I could get my pet back. Do you know that that is one of the ways that the devil subtly uses to get us caught up in things that we ought not to get caught up in? It is things that looks good initially and makes sense, but he has his own hidden agenda in the background. And if we allow him, if we're not on top of the game, if we're not in the word, what happens is these good things come, and later on they want to use it for something else. They use mass media to brainwash us into thinking it's okay. And before you know it, you get taken over. Do you know that Satan in the end times will not just come and come in his shiny red coat with his pitchfork and his long tail and tell us what to do? He's not going to do that. No. Everything will come in little by little, quietly, quietly. That's why the Christians are going to be persecuted, because there are those Christians who will see it, will understand, and will say, wait a minute, I'm not going to do that. Oh, you're not going to do that? Then you'll either be put to death, or you're going to be thrown in prison, or you're going to be persecuted. But many Christians can be caught unawares too. Many Christians can be caught unawares. So we need to be dedicated. We need to separate ourselves from sinful habits and from people or places that may hinder our purity. Oh, confession. Separate ourselves from sinful habits. When I was growing up in Belize, we didn't have TV. And TV didn't come to Belize until after I got married, so you know how old I am. And when TV came, of course, you know, everybody wanted a little black and white TV, and the only channel you could get was Channel 9, WGN, in Chicago. Right? That's why I know about Harry Carey. Anyway, then, up through now, there are certain things on TV that I want to watch. And if I'm not careful, this habit of looking at TV can take away from me the importance of things of God. Hallelujah. What happens is, you see, the program that I want to see comes on the same time when I should be at church for prayer and ministry meeting. Isn't that interesting? That the one program that I really want to see is coming on that same hour, hour and a half that I should be at the meeting. And the thought is, of course, they won't miss you. This is your program. You've been planning to look at it for a month now. And so I need to be wise, and I need to be dedicated to the word. I need to be dedicated to the saints, and says, you know what? I'm going to church. Amen. I'm going to church. Amen. I don't know about you, beloved, but it has happened to me. So yes, I need to separate myself from sinful habits and from people or places that may hinder my purity. It's not a challenge. One day you're driving by and you see me walking into a topless place. I don't know what they call them, bar, whatever. You see me walking into one of these and you go like, oh my, what is Pastor doing either walking in or walking out of this place? This is a place of ill repute. What is he doing in there? And when you see me again, you talk to me. You say, Pastor, you know, I was driving by, I saw what you were doing, and I'm just wondering, is everything okay? And I give you some stupid excuse, like, well, you know, I was going in there to witness to somebody. No. No. If you really have to do that, take the whole church with you. Don't be going in there by yourself. Because if you walk in there, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in some big trouble. So learn to stay away from places that might hinder your purity. And finally, E. E stands for what I like more than anything else. Enthusiasm. Now, you know I got been getting my strength back, right? You see that? Yeah. We should go about the work of the Lord in the power and the energy that he provides. Beloved, why is it that for everything else, we can get really excited about doing it? And so many times when it comes down to the work of the Lord, we think that it's a burden. It ought not to be a burden. It should be something that we're joyful about. We want to do it. We want to make it happen. And too many times, we just go like, oh, yeah, okay. No, we should be enthusiastic about it. Have you ever seen the fans when they're looking at Clippers playing or LeBron James or the Dodgers, whoever it is that they like? They get excited, they paint their faces, they do all kinds of crazy stuff. And they just get bent out of shape. They're so enthusiastic about it. Do you know that some of them at the games are actually professing Christians? And later on you say to them, you know what? I'd like you to sing in the choir. Well, I don't know. And all of a sudden, they're not enthusiastic anymore. Praise God for those who serve the Lord enthusiastically. Let us give him thanks because there are those who do that. I never tire of seeing my beloved sister Eileen. She's always excited about the Lord. And she's always willing to tell others about him. And she tells me, said, Pastor, when I'm on the bus, I look for somebody to sit beside so I could witness to them. Man, that's exciting. She's enthusiastic about the Lord. And there are many others like her. We got Sister Maud back there. Hallelujah. How long you think you could sit down beside Sister Maud before Sister Maud start telling you about the glories and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not long. Not long. Let us become enthusiastic about him, about his work, and the power and the energy that he provides for us. I have been getting excited about the power and the energy he provides me with. Amen. Nothing, beloved, takes the place of abiding in Christ Jesus. You know why? Because everything depends on him. There is nothing that can happen in our lives in this world that does not depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? Yes. That is an important fact to remember. Everything. And guess what? We name him as Savior. We point the world to him. Why not be enthusiastic about him? Why not be enthusiastic about him? Finally, I close with a quote. Let the word create around you, create within you a holy atmosphere, a holy heavenly light in which your soul will be refreshed and strengthened for the work of daily life. So says Andrew Murray, the author of the book called Abide in Christ. Beloved, there is nothing better than abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in Him we have our being. It is because of Him that we are who we are. May God bless us and keep us and cause His face to shine upon us and give us His peace through Christ Jesus, our Lord. I will hand the mic over to Pastor Pascasio, who will close us out. Pastor?
Praise the name of Jesus.